Is there something about Rhode Island as a colony that predisposed it to be such a player in this trade?
Yes. I mean, it's the smallest colony and then the smallest state, and it has this outsized role. And I think that that's because of its natural ports. So Rhode Island has four natural ports, as well as the Narragansett region, which is very good for grazing cattle, raising livestock like the Narragansett pacer. There's enough land there with enough soil because of the flooding to raise a small amount of crops, and that Rhode Islanders turn toward the Atlantic because they couldn't just sustain themselves with small family farms. It's not big enough for that. And you combine that with the ports and you get really the perfect storm for the center of the business of slavery.
Something that surprised me is the extent of Native American enslavement in Rhode Island. In fact, even before they got involved in the African slave trading. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Native slavery was the primary form of bondage in Rhode Island until the 18th century. And it begins with the Pequot War. So the same year that Rhode Island is founded is the same year where you get a number of Native American captives. Native slavery in Rhode Island is there from the very beginning.
Your emphasis in your book is on the business of slavery as opposed to the institution of slavery. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So I am interested in how the business of slavery shaped the experience of slavery. And by the business of slavery, I mean the buying and selling of goods, foodstuffs, and people. So in Rhode Island, you have three main pillars that reflect the business of slavery. The first is the bilateral trade between Rhode Islanders and the West Indies. So Rhode Islanders are providing foodstuffs to the West Indies, primarily feeding slave populations in the West Indies. Sugar production was so profitable in the West Indies that you use all arable land for sugar cultivation and you import all of your food. They're also importing household goods, particularly candles. So sugar mills are running 24 hours a day. The demand for sugar is never ending. And what's lighting the sugar mills? Candles. What's lighting the homes of plantation owners in the West Indies? Candles. You have this essentials trade basically going on between New England and the West Indies. And what do they get in return? They get molasses and cash. Molasses is a byproduct of sugar production. That molasses is used to distill rum, which is the number one export in Rhode Island. There's a reason why there were 16 distilleries in Newport. That's what I mean when I say the business of slavery. And then you have the Atlantic slave trade. And so Rhode Islanders, after the English dropped the embargo in 1696, are participating in the Atlantic slave trade. This is not surprising. They've been trading with slaveholders in the West Indies. So they know that there is a demand for more slaves there. And so they're using rum to purchase slaves to sell in the West Indies. That trade is also the business of slavery. But it goes even beyond that because it includes subsidiary industries. So shipbuilding is a business of slavery. Carpenters, shipwrights, sail makers, barrel makers, blacksmiths are making shackles for slave ships. And so the entire economy in Rhode Island is entrenched in the business of slavery. It isn't an aside, it's the cornerstone.
How many slaves were there actually in Rhode Island at this time?
You get a few thousand slaves in Rhode Island at its height, and that they account for about 10% of the population. But there's really a plateau in 1750 where slaves are 10% of the population. And that's because there's nowhere to expand. Rhode Island's 30 by 40 miles. That's it. There's nowhere else to add more slave population.
What was the life of a slave like here in Rhode Island? We've heard so much about slavery in the South and can picture slave shacks and then the big plantation house out front. What was it like here?
Lonely. That's the word that most readily comes to mind. The patterns of slavery in Rhode Island were in the city that you would be one person in the household most likely. Sometimes there might be two bound people in the household. In the Narragansett, where you have these larger farms, slave holdings were four or five people. You are under constant surveillance because you live with your enslaver. There's nowhere to retreat to at the end of the day. Family life is very truncated in a place like Rhode Island and in the North in particular because of the patterns of slaveholding. So you would live away from your wife. You would live away from your husband, your children, your brother, your sister. These are people that you might get to see maybe on a Sunday, maybe not. You don't have slave quarters. There's no privacy. You are living in an attic or a garret or sleeping in a doorway. Because you live in your master's home, you are usually on call 24/7, very little downtime. So lonely is the word that comes to mind.
Your book and many more historical accounts of slavery in the North coming out at the same time that there is this Port Markers Project nationwide and certainly here in Rhode Island at the four ports. This is all seems like part of a discovery for society at large about what the real story was here. What do you hope comes out of all this?
I hope a fuller understanding of our past. Rhode Island was entrenched in the business of slavery, but enslaved people were everywhere. In Newport, 25% of the population was enslaved. Every fourth person you ran into lived in bondage. To be able to go on a historical tour in the state of Rhode Island and slavery not be mentioned is absolutely absurd. It was everywhere. It's just part of the history of this place. And for those histories not to be told is a grave disservice and an incredible insult to the people who survived the institution.
I'm talking with Christy Clark Pajara, Assistant Professor of History in the Department of African American Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Christy, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you for having me.